Hello, this is Kyle Gregor with another Newsmakers Podcast. This week, another news editor is joining the podcast fun as news and legislation editor Kimberly Schwartz traveled to eastern Pennsylvania to visit with Kevin Carney of Carney Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Carney recently entered the geothermal market, and Kevin shared some of his team's experiences and lessons learned from their installations of these green systems. Enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side.
So you told me that Carney Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling started in geothermal about a year and a half ago. Can you tell me more about your geothermal work and what types of installations you're doing for what types of customers?
Sure. Typically, most of our geothermal systems are package systems, meaning one piece of motor bearing equipment that is located in a basement in our area. We do have some split systems where there may be an attic application. We'll put the compressor bearing unit in the basement and then the air handling unit in the attic. Most of the geothermal systems that we install are closed loop, meaning that we do not remove water from the ground and dump it back in. Instead, we recirculate the same water with an antifreeze solution in it. Typically, homes are generally 2,500 square feet or more. Age isn't really a determining factor in whether or not a person's going to be a candidate for geothermal. Many of them have either oil as their primary heat source now or propane, perhaps, or an all-electric house. Typically, those types of individuals will see the greatest cost savings from switching from fossil fuel to geothermal.
It sounds like you're definitely seeing a lot of those improvements, too. People are coming back to you and telling you that they've had great savings, right?
Yes. People have been very happy with the savings. Most of them have actually saved more than what we told them they could anticipate. We try not to overstate what they're going to save. In most cases, they've actually saved more, some even more than we had thought was possible. So, yeah, people have been very happy with the savings.
That's great to hear. So why did you choose to go into geothermal in the first place?
Well, we kind of view geothermal as being a natural extension of what we already did. We do a lot of conventional heating and air conditioning, so it really wasn't too much of a leap for us to jump into that. In comparison, the work is pretty similar. A lot of the training is similar to what we had already done and were experienced in. We believe that it's going to be a growing market, particularly as we see continued increases in energy prices and the green movement that's quietly driving, I think, a lot of the geothermal sales that we see out there.
Can you tell me what percentage of your current business is geothermal? Since, I mean, can't be too high because you just started a year and a half ago, but tell us a little bit about how much you're seeing coming in right now.
Right now, about 5% of our business is geothermal. A lot of the calls that we go on to see homeowners and discuss with geothermal do end up becoming, I would say, high-end conventional. For whatever reason, we could not do geothermal there. They didn't want to do it. Perhaps it was a little bit more than what they had expected. So a fair amount of those opportunities actually become very high-efficiency conventional pieces of equipment as opposed to geo. Some, of course, continue on and end up being a geothermal installation at the end of it. So it actually has probably helped us with the sales of high-efficiency equipment as well.
So 5% now, and you see a really bright future?
I think so. It's hard to tell. In our area here in southeastern Pennsylvania, we're going to see an increase in electric rates in January. No one really knows where they're going to go. Some estimates are 10%, some are as high as 30 or 40%. So that would kind of magnify the savings that somebody could realize with a geothermal system, particularly in an all-electric house. Oil, obviously, would impact that. And I mean, oil, if that were to go back to 147 a barrel like it was a few years ago, again, I think you'd see a lot of people turn to geo. And you know, we have the tax credit continuing to 2016 for geothermal, where the conventional one is set to end at the end of this year. So that, I think, will make it more appealing as well. I mean, I definitely think it's a growth industry.
I know that you're seeing a lot of growth, but I know that you also have concerns about some things that you're seeing in geothermal installations. What is the biggest concern you have about this industry right now, about this aspect of the industry?
Well, there are, unfortunately, enough situations out there where homeowners aren't getting what they should be getting and what they think they're getting with geothermal. I think that, in an odd way, this tax credit has brought a lot of ugliness out of the woodwork, so to speak, in terms of there are some contractors out there that are not doing what needs to be done for a geothermal system to operate properly like it's intended to save somebody money like it's intended to. the corners cannot be cut with these ever, or they're not going to work as intended. So you essentially have a geothermal system that's geothermal name only. And we are seeing some of that, loops that are undersized, for example, equipment that's undersized, antifreeze not being installed, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And unfortunately for a lot of homeowners, once this is discovered, it's almost too late, or it's going to be very, very expensive to correct what could have easily been done right the first time. So it's the worst aspect of the job is actually seeing some of this when after the fact, when you know, a homeowner's kind of been taken for a ride.
What's Kearney's philosophy to prevent that from happening with any of your customers?
Well, I mean, we put a lot of time into training. We spend massive amounts of time designing jobs and checking it multiple times before we begin the work. Sometimes it feels like there's almost more time in the planning of it than actually doing it. We have redundant systems for loop sizing and pump sizing, etc. Load calculation is done by hand and on a computer to make sure that we don't have any errors there. There's countless meetings before we're going to put one in to make sure that we have all our I's dotted and T's crossed. We'll have the well driller give us his own assessment of the wells that we'll compare to our own independently so that we have make sure that we have independent minds thinking about it and see what we come up with. So it's just, if you pay attention to detail and take your time with it and plan it out, there's no reason to have any issues. So that's how we try to approach it.
Great. Well, thank you for explaining so much about geothermal and what your experience has been. I'd also just like to have a little fun before we close this podcast. I know you went to Penn State, but Penn State's having a rough year. Do you think it's time for Jopa to retire?
We're all appreciative of what Joe has done for university over the years. I'll put it that way.
Okay. Appreciate what he's done, but hopefully Penn State can get their act together before the end of the season.
We hope so. We hope so, but we'll see. It's not looking good right now.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
Howdy. Thank you.
Interesting conversation, guys. Thanks to Kevin Kearney for taking the time, and thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you have any comments or suggestions for the podcast, please visit www.achrnews.com/podcast. And be sure to check out the News Update podcast for the latest happenings in the industry. Good times, everybody.